We're going to go to the book of Proverbs, and I don't often do this, but I'm going to take just a couple of verses. Now, you know, I'm in Proverbs on Sunday afternoon. I'm not quite this far, but anyway. But these will work anytime. And I just feel like that we're in a situation in our world today. You don't hear any good news. It's about all bad. Am I right? Well, I don't watch it a lot like I used to. I don't nearly as much as I used to. I mean, I know the bad stuff. I don't have to, you know. But Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. There's warning here, and there's also security and promise. The fear of man brings a snare. Well, we know what a snare is. It's a trap. And we're in such a state today that I think a lot of people are afraid of man. Well, you look back at the history of man in the world, and mankind has done some mighty horrendous things to other human beings. I mean, all the way back. Cain butchered his brother Abel. He didn't just kill him, he butchered him. That's what the scriptures bring out. Well, that's very early on, isn't it? What was the reason for that sin? Sin in the nature. We all have a sin nature. Why do all these governments just go wrong? Honey, they're wrong to start with. Not that government is wrong. Government itself is not wrong. Romans 13 tells the power that be are the ordained of God. Amen. We can't have a society, a country, without government. But our founding fathers, I mean, I'm talking about George Washington, I'm talking about Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, all of those. They understood this. That's why they set up the system of laws that we've got. We've got a balance in our laws. We've got the executive, and what they're the executive, that's president and that group. They're supposed to carry out the laws. Now they don't do that, obviously, especially on that southern border. But then we have the judicial, the Supreme Court, and actually the whole court system. And then we have the legislative. That would be the Congress and the Senate. They are to make the laws and they are to be representative of the people. That's why they're the federal representative government. That's why we're supposed to vote for people that understand our country and all that. And so the legislature can't overrun the judicial, nor the executive. They all counterbalance each other. Unless they get in cahoots and start using each other to destroy people that go against them, which is what we've got now. So regardless of all of the safeguards you have, human nature is wicked. And it's going to get more wicked as it goes along. What is it they say? Power corrupts, and money and power absolutely corrupts. And they both go hand in hand. When they get money, they want power. When they get power, they want money. And they want, the love of money is the root of all evil. So they say follow the money, you can see where the problem is. But we in our situation, we can't do a whole lot about it. Really can't. But that doesn't make any difference. Here's what he says. The fear of man brings a trap. But whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Well, do you want to be safe? Put your trust in the Lord. Amen. There's our remedy for this situation. It's written right in the verse. Many seek the favor, the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. Well, you think people don't nose up to the president, the governor, the mayor, the big boys? Well, certainly they do. But understand this. While you're nosing up to that politician or CEO or that billionaire, they're all going to be judged by the same God of this universe. All right. Now, there are many things that delay and hinder and sidetrack us. But one big trap is the fear of man. Think about it right now. Satan lays that net, but it's our own fear that drives us into it. You set a trap for a rabbit, a snare. His belly gets him into it. You think about an animal out right in the wilderness. And what in the world is a piece of smelly fur doing by itself on the other side of that piece of metal? You know, that's got to be. But the smell's driving them. And then that marten or whatever it is gets in it. And he's cooked. Well, Satan lays these traps. Oh, you better be careful. I believe we ought to obey the law. I believe we ought to obey the government. As long as the government doesn't make us go against God, then we ought to obey God rather than man. But we're in those days now. Now, to fear man is kind of a wicked thing. It's very dishonoring to God. Why would you fear man to the point that you would go against God? And that is not pleasing to God. And it really does have some very undesirable effects in our lives. Distraction of duty. Well, to fear God and keep his commandments, this is the whole duty of man. Now, that doesn't say what color man. It doesn't say what language, nationality of man, all human beings. You see, we all come from the same God. Amen. We all go back to Adam. Every one of us, we're not animals. These kids are taught in school that we're animals, and we're not animals. There's nothing wrong with animals, but animals are animals, and human beings are human beings. Animals do what they're created to do. They really do. We saw the other day, I don't know where it was. I mean, I've never seen such a bunch of buzzards. You know, the old black turkey buzzards. On the side of a road, there must have been 30 of them there, gathered. Well, I guess they love venison too, because there's a great big old deer been hit there. And there's going to town on that thing. Well, so how can they go and eat that old rancid meat? They were made by God to do that. They're doing what they do. So well, that dog bit. Well, dogs bite. That's what they do. Am I right? That's why you need to take precautions. And you don't walk up to a strange dog and stick your face down to it. You may come away with no face. He said, well, it's a dog's fault. No, it's your fault for being so stupid you get down there. And like people in these, some women, one woman somewhere got her face ripped off by a chimpanzee. So, well, that chimpanzee should have known that I love. That chimpanzee don't know what love is, especially human love. Well, I can't believe why that snake bit me. Snakes bite. So, well, we ought to be able to pick it up. No. You pick up a snake, you're probably going to get bit. And if it's poisonous, you're probably going to lose an arm or maybe your life. It's not the snake's fault. It's your fault for being stupid enough to pick it up and not recognizing that animals are animals. We're not animals. We are human beings made in the image of God. Amen. Well, when you have a slavish fear of man, that can absolutely stop you from doing your duty before God. It can also cause you to become a hypocrite. I remember one time years ago, I was on the city fire department. And they was trying to get a organization going. And the chief of the fire department sent these emissaries around to every station. And in those days, you youngsters don't know what they were, but we had telephone books. And people who had telephones, their name was listed in the book, and you could go there and find somebody's name and call them. You can't do that anymore, but you'd have these telephone books, and some of them got pretty thick. You ought to have seen a New York phone book. That's huge. So he had a page filled up, printed names and phone numbers on both sides. Can you imagine? You remember the old phone books, how they were? How many names would be on one side and how many on the other side? That's a whole bunch. And then paperclip to that page was, I believe it was 10 tickets to a dance they were going to have. And in order to raise more money, it said, you either sell the tickets, I think they were $10 a piece. Each man said, you either sell the tickets or buy them yourself. And this is for this organization, fraternal organization. He's trying to get started. And right on the ticket, it said, how was it? B-Y-O-B. Bring your own bottle. Well, here came the major out, and all of the firemen had to meet in the kitchen. And he sits down and said, every man's going to do this, going to call every name on this page and ask for a donation and sell these tickets. And you'll do it or else. So he passed it out to everybody. Now me, he didn't pass it out to me. He said, Gum, you going to take this? I said, no, sir. He said, why not? I said, I don't drink and I don't dance and I'm not going to try to encourage everybody else to do it. He said, nobody said anything about drinking. I said, I'm not stupid. It says bring your own bottle on the ticket. He said, is that where you stand? I said, absolutely. I will not do that. Well, it wasn't long after that, but he said, we'll see about that, buddy. And I got a phone call from the chief of the fire department. And my captain, I about pulled his nose off. He was so worried about that. I got on the phone, Fireman Gum speaking, sir. He said, Gum, this is Chief, Big Chief. I said, yes, sir. He starts cussing. I said, wait a minute, Chief. If you're going to talk to me, you talk to me like a man. You ain't going to do that to me. I don't do it to anybody else, and I ain't taking your cussing. You ain't free to cuss me. He said, tell me that you're not going to obey my command. I've hired on here to fight fire, and I'll go anywhere, do anything to fight fire, to do my job, and I've been an A1 number man for you since I've been on this fire department. But I'm not here to promote drinking and dancing. I don't believe in it, and you shouldn't either. He was a member of Parkway Baptist Church. I said, I was looking for a job when I found this one. He said, well, I just didn't want you to hurt yourself. I said, all right. I never sold them. Well, as soon as that little ordeal was over, everybody heard it. It was loud. Everybody heard it. They knew everything was said there. And so I had a couple of them come to me. Gum, why'd you do that? I said, what? He said, tell them that I'm not going to sell them either. I'm not going to call either. I just told them I would. I said, you can do what you want to, but I think you're a coward. Of course, they love me for that. You understand that, don't you? They love me for that. Was I telling the truth or not? Was that cowardice to say you're going to take them and act like you're going to do it and not? That's hypocrisy, and it's cowardice, and that's because of the fear of man. So, anyway, let's look at a couple of examples. 1 Samuel 15. Now let's look at chapter 21. I thought that was a little bit early. David's running from Saul. And he fled. David arose in verse 10 and fled that day for fear of Saul. He's afraid of Saul. David's a good man, a man after God's own heart. But he's a human being, and he's afraid of man. And he went to Achish, the king of Gath. Well, that's where Goliath was from. And the servants of Achish said to him, is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David is 10,000s? And each one of those thousands means 1,000, yeah. And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. Sore means severely. Extremely afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. Now he's afraid of Saul. He's running one way, now he runs here, and he's even more afraid of this guy. Well, think about it. Gath, that's where Goliath was from, and this is a guy that ran around with Goliath's head. So, look what he did. Verse 13, he changed his behavior before them and feigned, that's not finged, that's feigned, himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, you see the man is mad. Wherefore, why then have you brought him to me? Have I need of mad men that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? And drooling. I mean, this man's no threat to me. But look what David did. He renounced his integrity and behaved shamelessly. Why? Because of the fear of man. Well, look at Exodus 32. Verse 19, and it came to pass as soon as he came nigh or near to the camp, this is Moses coming back from Mount Sinai, that he saw the calf, they had made a golden calf, and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. Waxed means it increasingly got angry. And he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Now Moses wasn't afraid. Now you got all of these hundreds of thousands, even millions of people out there in the middle of the desert, and you took their idol and you ground it into powder. And then you put the powder in their precious drinking water. Then you made them drink the water. I'd say he carried a lot of authority with him. Wouldn't you say that? But here's what happened. Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. They're going to get bad. They're going to get mean. For they said unto me, make us gods, little g, which shall go before us. And as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. He went away. We don't know where he is. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into fire, and out comes this calf. I say that this religious leader succumbed to major heresy because he was afraid of the people. The fear of man brings a trap, a snare. Well, I can think of churches where pastors at one time preached and stood on the doctrines of God's word, but then little by little, afraid, well, if I don't back up, get easier. They're going to leave. And then what will we do? And they're afraid. And so then they back up on the doctrines, and the next thing you know, you can't even recognize those churches because they're no longer churches. But what happens? These preachers, pastors, they're afraid of men. I've seen it right here that preachers are afraid of the congregation, and rather than stand against them, they just leave. Oh, the Lord leads me somewhere else. That's why I was ninth pastor in 23 years here. That's right. Look over the Gospel of John. We're supposed to be seeing how the fear of man works a snare. John 19. John 19 and verse 8. Well, let me back up just a little bit. Verse 4, Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. That's, of course, Jesus Christ. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. For the second time, he says. And the Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. He was afraid of those Jews. Therefore he pronounces a false sentence, knowingly crucifying innocent blood. He knew from his own investigation that Jesus Christ had done nothing unlawful, had done nothing amiss. But because he was afraid of the people, he said, Go ahead and crucify him. Have it as you will. And then he tried to wash his hands from the blood. But I got news for you. That water didn't do a thing. Not a thing at all. Galatians, the second chapter. Verse 11, Apostle Paul to the churches of Galatia. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. There's Paul withstanding Peter to the face. Now the Roman Catholic Church, they claim that Peter was the first pope. Can you imagine any priest going to the Pope and withstanding him to his face, telling him that he's to be blamed? Why, they'd probably execute him. That's not going to happen. Peter, and my point is, Peter was not a Pope. Not even near it. And so Paul withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. And here's what he was to be blamed for. For before that certain came from James, that would be from Jerusalem, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, the Jews came from Jerusalem. He withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So why did Peter Why, he was always one with the Gentiles. We're all together here. But as soon as the Jews came, he withdrew from them and wouldn't have anything to do with them. Why? Because he was afraid of them. So there is another religious leader. He was an apostle. But look at what he's done. He's compromising the gospel message because he's afraid of the Jews. In verse 13, the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation, their deceit. But when I saw that they, there's Paul, said, when I saw that they, that's Peter and all the rest of them, they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. And there's the doctrine that they're spreading by being afraid of the other Jews. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. To a child of God, somebody that's truly saved, if there's anything that is of the utmost supreme importance to you, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And what if somebody says, what you're doing out of fear is completely compromising the gospel of grace, the gospel of Christ. And that's what's being told to Peter and the rest of them. And why did they do this? These are supposed to be gospel preachers who have given their life to preach the gospel. And now by their actions, they're undermining the very message. And it's all because they were afraid of the other Jews. Look at 3 John. Now, this is the same John of the Gospel of John. But he says, verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Then look down, verse 9. Look at verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. He's saying what they ought to be like. But, he said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, say that name over in your mind so you can pronounce it, Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. In this church, we've got a man who wants to be top dog. Let's have the preeminence. There's only one that has the preeminence, and that's the Lord. Amen. But he wants the preeminence. So he's got something bad going on in him. He would not receive the Apostle John and those with him. Can you imagine? He says, Wherefore if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth prating against us, mouthing against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. No one man, including me, the pastor, has any authority to kick anybody out of the church. Amen. That's not an individual function. If that becomes necessary according to the Word of God, that is a congregation function. Amen. That's why it's never to be done in a closed door meeting. And I know of churches, that Baptist churches, that do that, and the congregation never knows anything about it. How heretical is that? And that's what was going on in this church. But why don't those people stop that man? Because they're afraid. Because they're afraid. I don't know. I don't think he was a pastor. He could have been another preacher, but he wasn't a pastor. He could have been a deacon. But whatever, he was taking over that church. Folks, listen. You have no right to let me or anybody else, any other preacher, take over this church, or any individual. I was interim pastor of a church one time, and a wealthy man was a member there, and he gave more than anybody every week. And I tell you this, that nobody would, they wouldn't cross him on a bit. You couldn't say anything wrong to him. Well, I was there just briefly, and I got locked horns with him. I tell you. He was teaching a class. They called it Training Union. Southern Baptist churches used to do that. They may still do it. They got quarterlies and all that. Well, he was teaching this class, and you know what they were doing? They were, that chapter of that book was praising, think of his name now, I can't even think of his name, the guy that was some kind of a literary missionary into Africa. I'll think of his name in just a minute. You'd know it if you heard it. Anyway, they're praising him, and I said, wait a minute. I said, that guy's a heretic. I just read a book by him that was a psychiatric study of Jesus Christ. That was the title of the book. It's still around. You can get it. I loaned it out, and they're all out there. Let them read, never got it back. He said in that book that Jesus was a paranoid schizophrenic. I said, and here you are in a Baptist training union, supposedly training Baptists how to work for the Lord, and you're using as an example a guy like this that says Jesus was a madman. I went ahead and took over the class. We stopped that. But anyway, we had problems over it. But I mean, I wasn't afraid of him and his money. I mean, I know how to do without money. Do you know how to do without money? I know how to do without money. I've had a long time to learn that. I'm not afraid of somebody's money. Now, this church being ruled by a tyrannical deacon, were they afraid of him and let him go? They did. Fear of man works a snare. We go on. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He was afraid of the other Jews. You afraid to testify? Are you afraid to name Jesus Christ in public? Are you afraid to testify at school? Are you afraid to let people know that you are a child of God? What is it that you're afraid of? Man, I'll tell you, a lot to think about there. God commanded Jeremiah in the first chapter. He said, I'm sending you, just he did Ezekiel the same way. He said, I'm sending you to these people, and they ain't going to hear you. They're going to balk, and they're going to buck. They're going to kick back. Look over at Jeremiah, the first chapter. The Lord says in verse 4, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Was he a human being? And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. I don't have anything about me. I can't do it. But the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And he said, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. Be not afraid of their faces. I've had some faces gritting at me and shaking their head at me, sitting right here. I have. But he said, see, I have this day set thee over the nations. It's a preacher set over the nations, over the kingdoms. Look here. To root out, pull down, destroy, and to throw down, and to build, and to plant. There's a six-part message. And two-thirds of it is negative. They all say, oh, you can't preach nothing negative. It's all got to be about love and good stuff. That's what they're saying now. You run them off if you don't preach love. Who was that? Said, brother, love. Nothing wrong with love. That's legitimate. But outside of Christ, our God is a consuming fire. Look here, these four negative messages. Root out, pull down, destroy, throw down. To build and to plant, those are positive. But two-thirds of this message is negative. And yet Dr. Hall, Jaws, and all of his bunch, they want you to say, oh, you can't preach nothing negative. Stay away from the prophets. They started back when I was in Lexington Baptist College, Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville. Seminary, okay. Same thing. They were sending out messages telling preachers, stay out of the prophets. Don't preach the prophets. I believe in preaching the whole counsel of God. So, well, that church can't take it, then they need to be split up. If they can't take the preaching of the Word of God in a New Testament Baptist church, there's some part of the Bible they can't take, that somebody needs to get cleared out. Anyway, he says, be not afraid of their faces. Is it our goal to not make waves? One of the philosophers, I can't think of which right now, I think it might be Anaximander, I don't know, one of those old, I could have just said that was it and you wouldn't have known the difference, but it was one of them. He said the goal of life is to slide in the water and make no waves. And I think there are many preachers that follow that philosophy. They think their ministry has done so well if they've never had any controversy, never had any problems, if they've just made everybody happy. But Paul said, if I'm going to please the Lord, I can't be the pleaser of man. Amen. Well, and that's exactly right. You know, everywhere Paul preached, one or two things happened. They had a revival or a riot. Yeah. The fear of man, as we look at it, we come to find out that it really is based on our own selfish interest. We're moved by the fear of man and what man can either inflict or withhold. Stop and think about it. When you're afraid of man, now I'm not talking about going out and being some marauder or something. I'm talking about doing what we have to do before God. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, on your job, you need to serve the Lord on your job. You need to serve the Lord in school. You're not relieved of your obligations before God by wherever you are. We must serve God wherever we are. And if we're letting the fear of man stop us, we got troubles. There's a trap there. So, man may inflict pain, and boy, have they done that. Muslims are doing it all over the world now. And others are doing it. This bunch of liberal dogs in this country, they're doing it through the courts and every place else they can. Well, what about that dude that plowed that car into all those people up there in Wisconsin? 48 people wounded, and some of them for life. And was it 8 of them murdered, little kids and everybody else? And the courts just let him out. He had just run over his girlfriend on purpose, and they let him out on a $500 bail. And that's what the Democrats are doing all over this country. He hadn't been out 2 weeks, and look what he did. He did it on purpose. He ought to be hanged immediately in public. But I don't know, he might get a couple of years or something. I don't know what he's going to get out of that. Man can inflict pain. Look what they did to Stephen. Yeah. But he wasn't afraid of them. No. He stood before them and he preached the word of God to them. Jesus wasn't afraid of them. Paul wasn't afraid of them. And you know what? They ended up with a whole lot of pain. Man can inflict pain. And there's more than this. But you know, the holy office of the Inquisition, It was established in the 12th century. Innocent III. We've seen pictures of what they did. They devised tortures you couldn't believe. Ways to torture people and prolong their lives. They would cut their arms off or their hands and their feet, nose and ears, and then take a hot coal, a stick, and cauterize it where they wouldn't bleed to death. There's one particular old man, 85, no hands, nose, ears, feet, sitting on a log, and that's all he could do, sitting out in the snow. And he stayed there until he just, well, what did he go through? What kind of pain did he go through? Yeah, man can inflict some awful pain. And they did it in the name of the Roman Catholic Church. Martin Luther did it in the name of his outfit, the Lutherans. And there are many others. They may inflict pain, but they can just do it for so long. Say, well, I'm going to die. And we're going to die anyway. They just may send you on to heaven quicker. Because once that life leaves your breath, leaves your nose, angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. That Paul said, for the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. They may withhold from you. They may withhold their riches from you. We went through a big deal here one time. The treasurer then, not now. He came to me just before he left. He said, preacher, if you'd have handled that right, you'd have got a raise out of it. I said, you take your filthy money and go to hell with it. I don't want your money. I won't take your money. I didn't ask you for it, and I won't ask you for it. You can't buy me. They might hold on. Somebody said, we've been holding on so long, going along so long, won't be long, for we'll all be long gone. Pastor's holding on. And I got fired from Lexington Baptist College the second time. The guy firing me said, well, Brother Gum, I agree with you. I said, how come I'm going and you're staying? He said, well, I like what I do. I like my job. I said, you better enjoy it while you got it because you ain't going to have it long. And it wasn't long after that he got fired. But he didn't get fired for what I got fired for. I was standing for the word of God and will continue to do so. And so if you go along, you get their favor and their respect. But you see, I'd rather get the favor of God. I'd rather please God than to please man. Well, say, well, you'll be well liked if you go along with us. Jesus said, beware when all men speak well of you. Well, I haven't had that problem, you know. Some have. Anyway, so a man would avoid issues. As some preachers, you can't get them to commit themselves on anything. They'll just sidestep it. Commentators are that way. You'll go to a commentary to look for a verse that's controversial, and somehow they didn't even know it was in the book. Can't say a thing about it. they know they can't sell many books if they do that. Anyway, but God says, quit you like men. Stand, and having done all to stand. And finally, the fear of man is remedied by this, faith in God. Amen. We've got things cooking. I mean, you do what you want to do. It's your business and all that. But everybody's afraid they're going to start telling me that I can't go to the grocery store if I don't let them shoot stuff in my veins. Paul said, none of these things move me. You go shoot it in your own veins. You ain't shooting it in mine. Well, like I said, you do what you want to, and I may not even be right on that. I think I am, but, you know, I understand all that. But I'm not going to kowtow to what's going on enslaving this country and bringing in a communist government, which is what's on its way. You said, well, you'll be killed then. And what's the other problem? I'm not going to succumb to communism, to godless evolutionary communism. I'm not going to give in to that. Oh, you got to obey the government. Yeah, I do when they're not making me go against God. Well, they'll get you. They ain't going to get much when they get me. And if they don't cut my tongue out, they won't shut me up. Look quick at Psalm 48. I'll be done here. Verse 12, walk about Zion. Of course, Zion's the city of David, Jerusalem, the city of God. Our Zion is the church that Jesus built. Amen. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark you well her bulwarks. Fortress, consider her palaces that you may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our God even unto death. Let's all walk about Zion. Let's get in the Word of God and let's walk about the church that Jesus built. And let's mark her towers, her strong things, her bulwarks, her doctrines, the gospel of grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, church authority, church perpetuity. Look what we've got, and we can't let anybody for any reason interfere with this and take it away from us. He said, well, you'll die. And what next? Be not afraid of their faces. Mark well her bulwarks. Brother Walker, you just love the verse. Have faith in God. Amen. So look what man will do to you. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Don't fall into that trap of fearing man.